DC, LA.
I'm an addict named Carol.
Hey, Carol.
Hey, family. Oh, wow, thank you, Calvin. I never heard the end of that serenity prayer. It's the first time I ever heard it. I didn't even know there wasn't an end. Yeah. I thank God for everything, especially Narcotics Anonymous. I'm really, really, really grateful to be here. I thank the committee of my home area region for asking me to share. And, wow, I'm so full. You know, I want to say, why am I coming behind Calvin? Man, you know, I got what I needed. So God prepared me. I asked God to prepare me, and He did, you know. So thank you. Okay, so my topic is nuts, not using the steps. And I've been telling people how much God Himself picked that topic for me. And that there is no way I could have not, you know, because that's like where I've been. And then I realized how shameful that is, you know, like of all the topics, you know, to be my story, that's not really a good one. You know, like I'm telling people, yeah, that's my, but it's the truth, right? And the one thing of all the, like, you know, one promise, so many, many, many gifts. One of the many, many gifts for me is like the ability to tell the truth in here. I'll still lie anywhere else. Still, you know, that's my reality. But something about this room forces me to tell truths I don't even want to tell. You know, so that's my truth. Right? And I could really sum it up in like 2 minutes. If you don't work the steps, you will be nuts, like crazy. It's just what it says. You know, but I'll expand on that. Cause and you gave me like a lot, right? So, okay, let me just share this. My clean date is August 2nd, 1997. And, I'm real grateful for that date. It's the second date that I had with a little clean time behind it. I was clean 88 to 92 and doing the fellowship, right? Like, doing the fellowship. I went to a whole lot of meetings. No, for real. Like, I did the fellowship. I went to a whole lot of meetings, like all day, every day meetings. And I was at every function and all the, you know, dances. And I wore my keychains. And I was missing A. I was telling everybody I knew who was still smoking or whatever, come on, you know, this is the life. And I was sponsoring people to do the fellowship. Because back then they used to say, everybody with a year or more, raise your hand, these people can be your sponsor. I think people talked about the steps. I really do. I just, you know, I don't know. I was doing the dances and the love. No, for real. Like, and I'm going to tell you why. Like, it was very significant to me. Because all my life, I had to have something different. And I thought I found it in food, sex, money, men, the lifestyle. And it was all about the love, right? But I didn't know that. And when I came my very first meeting at this whole, I always call it a hole in the wall place, but that place is very special to me, in New York, Jamaica, Queens, I Can't Club. Farmers Boulevard, that's it. I went to my very first meeting there in 1988, and they hugged me and said, we're going to love you too, you learn to love yourself. And I didn't know that was missing. Because I'm going to tell you, while I was always looking for something different, I always thought I was it at the same time. They used to have this topic, egomaniac with an inferiority complex. And Walston talked about it last night, the living contradiction. That's what I was. Like, I thought I was cute because I had, like, things and people told me I was cute. And I thought I was smart because I had, like, degrees and test scores that said I was smart. But I felt like shit. Like I felt like everybody in the world was better than me at the same time. So I'm like looking for love, but I don't know it because I think that I'm cute. And I confused conceit and arrogance with self-esteem and self-worth. That was my story. So when I went in this meeting the first time and people hugged me and said, we're going to love you till you learn to love yourself. And this feeling came over me that I had never felt before in my life, like I wanted to be here. You know, I loved y'all and I needed this. So I kept coming to those meetings because I needed this. I needed this love and I needed these hugs. And I couldn't stay clean. Like, I was coming to meetings, 3-4 meetings a day back then, going like 88. Nobody else did nothing but go to meetings. Like, nobody had jobs. So that's what we did in New York. So, yeah, St. Mark's, meetings and the diner. So y'all carried me, but I couldn't get 60 days clean because I didn't really want to stay clean. I just wanted this love and these hugs. So, yeah. Fast forward, I thought that's what this was about. And so when I, after like a year of that, I ended up going to treatment, hit another bottom. It was a real cool, I'm going to tell this story, it's kind of funny. I was in New York, right, and I'm from D.C. And they had, I tell you, I kept using every 57, 59 days. So I knew what they had. And they had these little $3 caps in New York that I could sell for 20 in D.C. Wow. So I had got my little welfare check. I had the bright idea. I'm going to go down to D.C. I got 48 caps. So I'm going to take them to D.C. And, you know, yeah, I'm a ball. So I got on the bus at Port Authority with the 48 caps and a pipe just in case. And I was going to... And I got on the bus at Port Authority with the 48 caps and I smoked in the bathroom all the way down 95. Yeah. And I remember the lighter didn't work. I ran out. I opened up the door and asked some guys on the back seat for a light. They asked me for a hit. I told them no. The smoke came out. I told people I had diarrhea, like insanity. The good thing about that is I never thought I wasn't insane. When I got here and y'all said this, I could relate to insanity because I smoked. I got to D.C. with 13 caps left. Yeah, it was bad, but... but that led me to my first bottom, which led me to treatment. I went in PI and I heard something made me want to stay, and so then I did the fellowship for that 4 years, right? And so like I was telling y'all, I was doing the fellowship and I'm coming for the hugs and the love, and this was my whole world. I was sponsoring people because y'all said after the year that's what I could do. So I took them to the dances and taught them how to do the fellowship too. And I sponsor people to fellowship, right? And at the end of like that 3.5, almost 4 years, I was married. My husband was in jail. My husband at the time had been locked up while I was clean. And he came home and decided that he was going to sell dope. And, you know, I came to the meeting and said, what I'm going to do, he's selling dope. And y'all said, he needs to go. And I didn't want to hear that because, you know, I was going to fix him. And then he brought the dope. Then like a week later, he brought the dope in the house. I came to him and I said, well, he brought dope in the house. What do I do? And y'all was like, he got to go. And, you know, I didn't want to hear that. So I stopped coming to meetings, basically. And when I used, like it had nothing to do with him. He wasn't even around. So this is not I used because of him. This is the progression of what happened for me. I stopped going to meetings and I used. But the day that I used, I was in Baltimore. And I had moved to Baltimore because the rent was cheap. Never used in Baltimore. Yeah. Never had used in Baltimore. I was in this little town, Essex, outside of Baltimore. It's like 45 minutes from town. But, you know, like I never used, but we know. So I knew who to go to. And I went to a 12 o'clock meeting on Greenmount Avenue and told everybody, I raised my hand and shared and said, I want to use. And so after the meeting, you know what we do after the meeting, everybody came and said, come on, let's go to lunch, let's go with us. I was like, nah, I'll be all right, you know. So I went back to Essex, and I went straight to the people that I knew what they do. And, like, this is the thing that was significant about that. It was like 1:30 in the afternoon. We had to go all the way to the city because I didn't have no tools or nothing. We had to go all the way to the city and run around, and it was till like 6 o'clock in the evening. Before I actually got home. And I had a whole lot of phone numbers, y'all. Like, for 6 hours, I had a lot of phone numbers. I was sponsoring people. Matter of fact, I was on the entertainment committee for Wagner at the time. Like, I was you know. But I couldn't use those tools because I've been doing the fellowship for 4 years. And like, you know, nothing had changed on the inside. So I had this information that I couldn't apply. And I remember when I picked up thinking, damn, why didn't I call somebody? Or why don't I call somebody now? And if you're new and this is your first time, like, you never want to experience knowing you got a choice and using again. It was words can't describe the misery of those 6 months that I smoked, knowing I had a choice and I just couldn't pick up that phone because I was empty on the inside because I've been doing the fellowship for 4 years. So this time when God blessed me to come back, August 2nd, 1997, I said, I know what happened the last time. I didn't work no steps. I said that. And I said, y'all told me a grateful addict will never use. So I'm grateful that God brought me back. I never want to go through that misery again. It was the worst time of my life. I'm going to work the steps every day for the rest of my life. Yeah.
Right.
No, for real. That was my plan. That was my story. You can tell me no. Everybody that saw me heard me say it. Right? And I meant it. And, yeah. And I wish I could tell y'all that 18 and a half years later, I've been in the step work process this whole time. I wish I could tell y'all I had 18 and a half years of recovery, but that's not the case. What happened, I was all excited for a while, and I'm in a sponsorship family, and I've had several sponsors over the course of this time, and all of them believe in 1 through 12 and 1 again. Like, I don't have the family that you did it once 18 years ago. And I'm just saying. So that's the example that's been set for me. We stay in the step work process. So that's already off the top. So, yeah, that was the plan. And I'm going to work the steps all the time and practice the program and live this thing. And what happened was I went through a cycle. No, I didn't go through a cycle. A cycle is 12. No, I did a couple of 1 through 6s for some reason. And I would get to 7 and I decide that I'm tired. You know, like I'm tired of doing work. I call it recess. I want to take a recess, a break. You know, because I'm all right, I'm chilling. I got nice cars. I got a nice, really nice house with a pool in the back and I got a recovery club. I had a recovery club in Miami. Like, I'm doing it, you know, a lot of sponsees and a recovering man that had a lot of sponsees. And you know, life looked good, and it felt good. Yeah. And so I'm going to take a recess from the steps. But I don't think I said it consciously. I just did it, right? But what happened is, you know, it says nuts not using the steps. So what happened for me, and I'm an extremist, I'm going to tell you, like when I first got here, I told y'all I ain't had no problem with insanity. I knew that like I'm an extremist because my story, I didn't tell you, but let me just say a little quick thing. The first time I smoked weed, 2 weeks later, not 2 years, 2 weeks later, I was stealing money out my mother's pocketbook, saving roaches in the windowsill so I could have some when I couldn't get none. I'm talking about stealing money in my pocketbook for a week. You know, like, I had to have more from day one. The first time I stole a candy bar, the next week I was stealing cartons and cases of candy. You know, like, just everything was like that for me. And the first time I smoked my drug of choice, it was freeze-based then, but whatever, was a Tuesday. And I smoked from that first Tuesday every single day, till through a pregnancy, through a whole pregnancy every single day until I went into the first of nine treatment centers, 4 psych wards, and 11 detoxes. Every single day. I don't know this weekend warrior thing, the progression. Mine was first time every day till treatment. A lot of treatments. So, yeah, back up. So, like, I'm an extremist, right? So I did the little extreme thing for the steps, and then I did the extreme thing when I'm going to take a break. And I found myself on the first break with 7 years clean, facing about 20 years in prison because I couldn't let go of the lifestyle. And then the second break, I was homicidal and suicidal. I was going to kill him and her and everybody who knew her. And I was going to involve my children in it. They were a part of the plan, like, you know, like nuts. I heard, I used to hear this thing, I used to hear working, being in a 12-step program and not working the steps is stupid. You know, how you going to be in a 12-step program and not work the 12 steps? I heard that a lot, and I used to say it too. But I heard something very recently, and I love this. It's supposed to be my motivation now. We'll see. But, no, for real. Y'all check with me in a year or 6 months. But I heard it a couple weeks ago. The guy said, because I'm money motivated. I told y'all the lifestyle money, right? So he said, being in a 12-step program, Narcotics Anonymous, and not working the steps is like going to work every day and not getting a paycheck.
Oh.
I was like, damn, yeah. That's going to be it for me. That's my hit. So back to, like I'm money motivated. I thought I was pain motivated, but now I'm about to tell y'all about that. The pain. Yeah. So I'm like in this hopeless dilemma, right? Clean. I'm in the hopeless dilemma clean. And what happened was another thing back to my story, this is real quick, not a victim story, but it's mine. Like I had some, what I considered to be justifiable resentments growing up. Some things happened that shouldn't have happened. Like, you know, like I got raped by an uncle when I was 5. And the uncle stayed in our house. They let him stay. They knew he raped me and he was allowed to stay in the house till I was 16. So I was, you know, pretty angry and, you know, I had no self-worth. And then there was, I was kind of abused, you know, by my father. So, like, I had some stuff to be angry about. I hated my mom, you know, and I say that because this is a big part of my story of how I came out. Like, I hated my mother. I was scared to death of my father, and I thought that no one loved me. Told y'all I was looking for love at all the wrong places or whatever. So when I did that first 4th step and got through the resentments part, and I got the freedom of the forgiveness, you know, and you talked about it, like, that's it. Like, I was the prisoner. And when I found out that I was a prisoner, because my sponsor said, this was the question, I told her in advance, I said, I ain't going to have no part. I understand my part and everything. You stars and things with you. Yeah, I'll get that with everything else. But I ain't have no part in that uncle raping me when I was 5. Like, I ain't have it. I don't have no part. There's nothing I'm going to put in that column that was on me. And she told me, well, okay, that's right. But, like, how about you allowing that pain to carry you for 38 years and all the anger and bitterness and all the shit that you've caused as a result? How about that part? And that worked. Like, I was able to pray and forgive that uncle. And actually, I'm going to tell y'all, like, the power of this program. I went to, he passed from liver cancer when I had, like, I don't know, 10 years clean. But I went to his hospital bed and told him that I forgave him. And there's no words I can tell you to describe the feeling that I got when I saw the look on his face of peace and relief, right? I've been hating him my whole life, you know. And then, so like I forgave the him and the her, you know, the ex-husband and the woman. Like, this was feeling good. Like, you know, for real. I felt, and for me, I got high because I wanted to feel good all the time. I don't know about anybody else. I wanted to feel good all the time. And when I discovered that I felt better when I forgave people, see, that I had to have a self-centered motive for letting go. You know, my self-centered motive was, now I ain't got to be angry and bitter no more. Like, I can actually have this big relief. And I felt like I was living a serenity prayer, you know? Like, I'm not angry at, I don't hate my mom anymore. I'm not angry at my father. I'm, like, free. And I was at the happiest period of my life, I want to tell you. I had, most importantly, gotten a relationship with God, in my understanding. You know, and that's really where the freedom came from. I was able to trust him with taking care of that and taking care of them. So I'm happy, right? And I'm kind of living a serenity prayer. I'm trusting God. I'm loving people. you know, I got the freedom of forgiveness, and that's what it was. It's a gift that God gives me, you know, when I let go of anger with somebody else. So, like, I'm living that, and I'm living this freedom from the resentments and the bitterness, and I'm happy, and somehow I ended up in another break. I don't even remember now how it happened, but I just ended up taking another break, you know, from the step work process. Something about step seven. I would get a step seven assignment, and I just, you know, walk away from it. So I did that again, and then I ended up in this really very sick relationship. And it was very unhealthy, and I kind of, you know, I was in a lot of pain. And people kept telling me, my sponsor, that the steps were my key to relief and freedom. And I actually knew, because like I told y'all, I had a glimpse, you know, of the freedom that could come from me when I worked the steps. I'd had a glimpse of, yeah, that peace. You know, I didn't know before I got here that peace was missing in my life, by the way. I thought peace before I came to Narcotics Anonymous. And remember I told y'all I was real smart. I had test scores on the wall and degrees, multiple degrees, that said I was smart, right? But the word peace before I came here, I thought was for hippies. Like, I literally only, the only concept I had about peace was hippies and flower children and moon pies. So it just wasn't something that I thought belonged in my life, for real. I was happy with, I thought I was supposed to cuss you out if you pissed me off. I was happy with all the madness and chaos in my life, you know. And so when I got a glimpse of peace and a desire to actually want to live the serenity prayer, it was an amazing thing. But there's that something inside of me, you know, that thing that just is comfortable with familiar pain, right? You know, I can't, it's that thing, right? And so somehow I ended up there. I didn't even realize how. And then right on the back of that bad relationship, I knew what my solution was. Well, I got to get back to my relationship with God. You know, I got to put him back first in my life. And you know, because that's where my peace was. And then my baby brother got sick, and he had cancer. And actually, he had had cancer, and he had been in remission, and it came back. And it came back real bad. And he was like one of the best people I knew. And I was so angry with God. I kept praying. I'm trusting him. God's going to heal him. God's going to heal him. God's going to heal him. I know it, you know. And it just wasn't going that way. And I remembered clearly, because my relationship, my everything is so dependent on that relationship with God. You know, because before, I thought I was God. So, like everything that was good in my life depended on this relationship with God. And my disease knows it. So here's this hole coming, because, like, God isn't showing up the way I thought he was going to show up. It's looking bad. And I remember clearly getting further from my prayers, and I remember clearly starting to get real angry with God. You know, and trying to pray, and not, like, I'm not believing what I'm saying anymore, because it don't look like, you know, what I'm saying. I'm saying you're going to heal him the way I thought this healing was supposed to look, right? So I was real angry, and it was a painful time, and unfortunately for me, I guess, that the relationship I had wasn't strong enough to survive it at that time. You know, and like I just ended up totally kind of giving up. You know, I was very, my brother transitioned, and I was so angry until I, you know, like I remember crying out and saying, you know, like how, I trusted you, God, you know, and I got an answer back that like this, the healing is actually something the healing that you just couldn't conceive of. Like, I actually healed him way better than anything you can imagine, you know, but I just couldn't see that at the time. So, yeah, so I ended up through there in another recess, not working those steps, and which brings me to where I'm at now, you know. And I, like, my story is, don't do what I did, you know. Yeah, there's freedom in the steps, but remember I told y'all about how happy I was when I was practicing this forgiveness, right? You know, and I'm living the serenity, and I was having improved relationships and hope for family relationships and everything. But there's a result to not doing it. You know, it says in our literature that ongoing recovery is dependent on a relationship with a God that can do for me what I can't do for myself. So, like, dependent means it has to happen. And if it's not happening, Carol, it don't work on what happened yesterday or last week. So now you don't have this anymore. You're not practicing these steps anymore. Like, you're going, like, I became a prisoner again. Like, you know, the prison doors don't open and stay open if you ain't doing the work. This process is ongoing. It has to continue, just like the disease does, right? So when I stopped, it stopped, and I found myself just last month, I didn't even realize it until it was brought to my attention, being really hateful to my mother and the resentments that I had 15 years ago before I did all that work. It was like it was yesterday. I'm just coming to that realization. So, like, when it stops, when I stop working, it stops working for me, you know? So I stand here today to say I'm grateful for the fact that y'all told me I can start where I stand, right? Like, it don't matter what I did yesterday. It don't matter what I did 2 hours ago. Like, right now, this moment, I can still make a new decision. And I can commit to this program that has the power to change and save my life, you know? And so that's where I'm at. Like, I love Narcotics Anonymous. If you're anything like me, if you're new, Narcotics Anonymous is the greatest place on earth. Right? It's nowhere else in the world you can come and get freedom. We got a choice. Like, we have a choice to choose how we're going to live today and which way we're going to go. And it's all open. Right? And, last thing, lost dreams awaken, new possibilities arise when I apply this freedom. I'm telling y'all, I couldn't even describe in the words the joy of living my dreams, right? And I've done that. I've been doing that. And like, I'm going to keep doing it because I'm going to get back in the process. And, yeah, I'm grateful. Thanks. So I thank God for bringing me to Narcotics Anonymous, and I want to thank Narcotics Anonymous for bringing me back to the God of my understanding. Thanks for letting me share.